It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening and welcome to our program. Drew Carey, host of The Price is Right, has some comments about reality star Spencer Pratfall's bid for mayor of Los Angeles. He says, anyone who votes for or endorses Spencer Pratfall for mayor of LA needs to get their head out of their bleep. I said bleep. You can imagine what the word really is, but there are FCC regulations. He goes on, I understand being angry and satisfied, but at least get behind someone competent and not some serial scammer without a soul or moral compass. Now, the idea of him not having a soul or moral compass was that he was on this reality show and he played the bad guy. I never watched it. I hate reality shows. And I'm sure he was unlikable on that show, but there's a lot of acting that goes into these programs. Who knows if he's really like that? But anyway, one way or the other, all I'm interested in when I'm voting for somebody is their policies. Now, I don't live in Los Angeles, so I will not be voting in that election, but I would vote for him in a heartbeat. Drew Carey's primary idea is that he's a reality star. That's his experience, and he's not experienced as a mayor. Well, Drew, you're also in show business, and you seem to feel free to insert your opinion. And just who is qualified in this race? Mayor Bass, who left the country despite warnings about a fire coming to her city, whose reservoirs were empty when firefighters connecting hoses to hydrants were unable to draw any water? That's your definition of competent? Well then, Drew, I just have to ask about the competency of your statement. Of course, primaries are going on all over the country, not just in Los Angeles. President Trump's endorsement of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton was every bit as successful as Trump's other endorsements this primary season. Paxton defeated incumbent Senator John Cornyn by a landslide. Now, there are a lot of Republicans who liked Cornyn, and they fear some baggage related to Paxton. Among other things, he was impeached by the Texas House, but acquitted by the Texas Senate. We need to remember that. I'm personally not seeing the need for concern, folks. Paxton has served as Attorney General in Texas since the year 2015. He's been reelected twice, and he's running against a complete nitwit. State Representative James Tallarico, a guy who says it's hard to support the American flag. A guy who says we should put a welcome mat on our borders rather than securing our borders. A guy who claims God is non-binary based on a misreading of a verse in Galatians which says in Christ there's neither male nor female. Well, yeah, that verse is in the Bible, but it's talking about the fact that all are welcome in church and men get no special favoritism, which they were likely to get in that ancient patriarchal culture. The church was being very radical in its view of women's rights. Paul said the same thing about Jews and Gentiles, slave and free. Whatever your social status, you are welcome in the church and inferior to nobody. That's what that verse means. That was not a cue for men to play on women's basketball teams, something Tallarico also supports. Now, if he was in California, this airhead might actually win. But we're talking about Texas. Texas, of course, you're probably thinking, well, if he's already a Texas state representative, he had to have gotten elected to that office. How did he get elected as a state representative in Texas? My friends, that can happen in a Democrat district. Even red states have blue districts. But to run as senator, he would have to win a statewide race. And to put the icing on the cake, the guy is a vegan. At least he's made that claim. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that if there's one thing Texans love, maybe even more than oil, it's beef. So he's since walked that back, claims he's always loved Texas barbecue, and that this notion of him being a vegan is made up, just to smear his campaign. Oh, really? Well, let's listen to his actual words from his campaign for state representative in 2022.
We have, I think, heard more and more issues of animal welfare. I think not just because it's the right thing to do and the moral thing to do, but also it's, as all of you know, necessary to fight climate change. It is now existential that we try to reduce our meat consumption and that we try to respect animals in all aspects of society. And so I am proud to say that our campaign has officially become a non-meat campaign. So we have...
Oh, really?
We are only buying vegan products from our local vegan businesses. Some of you may know Big Nona's. They were little Nona's, and then they opened up a brick and mortar, some of their Big Nona's. But we just got our pizza from there today. And so the point is that I think all of us, not just policymakers, but everyone has to take personal responsibility in this effort.
Also in Texas, Maureen Galindo, running in a primary for the state's 35th congressional district, was defeated by her opponent, Johnny Garcia, 59% to 40%. She had gone on record to say that American Zionists should be put in detention camps. I'm not making this up, folks. She also said Jews own Hollywood. Anyway, as I mentioned, she did lose, partly because she was finally renounced by other Democrats for such comments, and that's good. That's a bullet we missed. Look, I'm glad she was denounced by her own party, but two disturbing questions still linger. First, how did she still get 40% of the vote? Anti-Semitic comments like that, and she gets 40% of the vote? This should give us shivers, despite her loss. Second question, why did she, as a Democrat candidate, even feel free to say those things in the first place? Usually anybody who feels that way keeps it to themselves when they're running. She felt free to say it. Could it be because of the anti-Semitism permeating this party, starting originally with the squad but then spreading? Or the refusal of Democrats to condemn anti-Israeli pro-Hamas protests? Or could it be the popularity of Zoran Mankami, the mayor of New York City, who was on record supporting global intifada, who campaigned by promising that he would not attend the annual New York City Israel parade, whose wife celebrated when Hamas attacked Israel in 2023? Or how about another Democrat senator candidate in Maine, Graham Plattner? The guy has a Nazi tattoo. Now, he's since covered it up, but it's a Nazi tattoo. And we're hearing the same tired drivel about this just being in the past. He's changed. And he really had no idea that this skull picture represented any kind of Nazi symbolism. Well, it's easy to play the "this is only my past" card. What about the present? He's accused Israel of genocide simply because they waged war against the murderers and rapists who attacked them, known as Hamas. Plattner has also retweeted Stu Peters, a controversial radio host who calls Judaism a death cult, and, wait for it, this guy advocates a final solution to the problem of American Jews living in the United States. Yeah, it's a problem for American Jews to live here. And you heard me correctly with that phrase, final solution. Sound familiar? It should. Historically, it was an expression coined by Nazi Germany. Now, what Peters means at the moment is deportation, but he's quoting the Nazi rhetoric for extermination camps. The extermination camps were the final solution of the Nazis. Final meaning they didn't begin with extermination camps, but they did end there. Where did they begin? First, by allowing street violence against the Jews. Next, the deportation of Jews, which this guy's calling for, and Plattner is retweeting him. Now, some Democrats are also calling out Plattner, but not nearly enough. Democrats love to call Trump a Nazi. They love to call all supporters of Trump Nazis, but when a real, honest-to-goodness Nazi pops up, their so-called moral clarity is rather fleeting. Speaking of Trump, he was talked about a lot on last week's program, and we had a lot of calls from listeners last week. I only put one of them on the air because I had a guest, and I didn't want to cut into his time too much. He had some good questions. But some of the others who didn't get on, they went ahead and shared their comments with my producer, Brendan, off the air, and Brendan passed them on to me when the show was over. And what they said to Brendan and what was passed on to me astonished me. Absolutely astonished me. They felt like I was saying I did not support Trump. That is simply not true. I am a huge supporter of Trump. I've been saying that for years on this program. I've been quite clear on the subject. I've lost friends for supporting Trump. I believe he is the best president our country has ever had, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln. To my recollection, there isn't one law Trump has tried to get through Congress that I have not supported. That includes border control, ICE deportation, the big, beautiful bill, so many other things you can hardly name them, one executive order after another, including the order about trans males not involving themselves in women's sports. It goes on and on. I support Trump. Now, that doesn't mean I've never criticized the man. I'm a Trump supporter, not a Trump groupie. We all need to think for ourselves. But even last week, in the midst of some criticism, I repeated words that I've spoken time and again on the show. I said, I love Trump. That someone could listen to those words but not really hear them makes me wonder if they're listening with their emotions rather than their ears. My guest, Mike Friedenberg, and I were expressing frustration over the war in Iran. Not because we don't support it. We both support the war, but we are both aware that it's unpopular in terms of bringing up gas prices, etc. And we are concerned, understandably concerned, about how this will affect the midterms. Because if we lose the House, they will impeach Trump, and they'll impeach him for anything. They don't even know what it is yet. It will be impeachment papers with a fill-in-the-blank accusation. They could accuse him of speaking out against Ben and Jerry's, and that would be enough to impeach him. That's what happens if we lose the House. If we lose the Senate, we lose the country. They'll stack the Supreme Court with liberal judges. There's nothing in our Constitution that says it has to be 9. That was a wise idea to keep any one party from ever getting into complete unlimited power. But they'll stack it so that the court is no longer a third branch of government, just a rubber stamp for any legislation the Democrats want to pass. They'll make Puerto Rico and D.C. states so that the Democrat majority in the Senate will be permanent. They will reopen our borders. They did that before. They will allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. They were doing that before. They were building one under Obama, and Obama was giving them money and paying for it just because they promised not to use that money for nuclear weapons. But it was included in the deal that if we were ever going to go and inspect their progress, we had to give them notice ahead of time. If the Democrats get back in power, they will prosecute Trump and his cabinet once they are out of power. You don't believe that? Were you asleep the last time Trump left office? Did you sleep through the Biden presidency? Biden slept through the Biden presidency, but did you? Now, Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland didn't sleep. He was awake with that raid on Mar-a-Lago. Anyway, all to say Mike and I are afraid for Trump and his policies if we lose the midterms. Neither of us support Iran having a nuclear bomb. Only an insane person would support that. But Mike was concerned about whether our military could bring this war to completion soon enough for Trump to start campaigning and refocusing on the economy. My concern was a little different from Mike's. I talked about how tired I am of the peace deals. I want to see them just go in and finish the job, and maybe I'm a little more confident that our military could do it. Or if they don't finish the job right now, do a part one and part two. Just announce, we're going to pause it for a while, but we're keeping an eye on them. We'll go back at the drop of a hat, and then wait till the midterms are over, and then go back in. One or the other. But definitely, I am against further deals. That's not because I don't trust Trump. I believe Trump wants to be an honest partner in the deals he's brokering. It's Iran that I do not trust. They will not honor the deal. They never will. They never have. Why should we believe that will change? So I was criticizing Iran mostly, but yes, disagreeing with Trump for allowing these deals to go on in light of the fact that Iran's strategy is to string this along until we get to the midterms in the hopes that Trump will lose power. He needs Congress to continue funding the war. That is Iran's only card, and frankly, I'm tired of seeing them play it. The news 1 week ago was that we were once again on the brink of a new deal. I predicted over the air that it wouldn't last, and it didn't. There's been an exchange of fire all week long. Now, I'm not boasting with that fulfilled prediction. A trained chimpanzee could have predicted the same thing. Look, I appreciate that Donald Trump loves making deals. He's very good at it. It's admirable. But perhaps it's also a weakness, because sometimes there are people you just can't deal with. He's not used to that in the business world. But that is the situation with Iran. So yeah, I do see that as a weakness. And yes, that's a criticism. But it's a criticism born of wanting to see the man stay in power and not shoot himself in the foot. This is Bob Siegel clarifying in order to make the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing okay.
That's fantastic. So let's get into the biggest news story for sure. And this has to do with our very own show, The Bob Siegel Show. We have a returning co-host beginning next month, and we are so elated and happy to hear this news.
I received the news from Jim that he will be here 4th of July weekend, which means on Sunday, July 5th, he will be back in the studio. If you've been tracking with us, Jim had a heart attack a couple of months ago. The surgery was successful, but he's been in rehab and physical therapy for the longest time. He said he's not 100% yet, but he's just about there, and he's sure he'll be fine by July. So
that's fantastic.
I'm so happy for him. It'd be so great to have him back on the show.
And I do want to thank Jim as well for giving us updates on Facebook every so often, too.
Yeah.
Again, the public should know about this.
And Jim, he said, this didn't surprise me. He says, I want to come on and share my story. So that whole show will be all about his adventures in the hospital. But Jim tells great stories, and I'm sure it'll be very, very interesting.
And that also means I have to blow the dust off the Stump Jim Barrier segment, too, as well. I'm so excited.
I just hope he doesn't put in any admonitions for me about stopping eating meat so that this doesn't happen to me someday, because guess what? Not going to do it.
Wait, is your show not going to be all vegan then in that case?
No, this is the non-vegan version of the Bob Siegel Show, and there are no other versions.
All right, well, let's get into some other news stories. Last week, the local city of San Diego announced that they are officially going to get rid of paid parking in Balboa Park and lower trash fees for its citizens.
That's good news, but how are they going to suck blood out of a turnip through our taxes and get us to pay for things besides that?
Exactly, because keep in mind, we're still in a very major budget deficit.
They're still going to make us pay for something.
Yeah, so
don't tell me we have to go online to get a free pass, and if that doesn't work, it automatically charges our credit card.
I don't know about that part.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They are definitely looking into some other ways to get out of this budget deficit.
Maybe they'll start charging and taxing the animals.
Right? Maybe. The San Diego Union Tribune, of all places, decided to look into this, and they were able to find that $26 million of city funding has been going missing as of late. So, for example, specifically, they did a report that was published that shows over 100 vacation homes in the area have not paid their property taxes. Thus, in the past 5 years, they have missed $10 million based on that alone.
I hope they don't try a Mayor Mondani, because, you know, he's about to seize private property.
Yeah.
Are they going to use this as an excuse to just seize the home?
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure. The other thing I was thinking of, too, we talked about this prior on the Bob Siegel Show, squatters. They have been such a hassle in these kind of vacation homes, too, trying to get them out. Yeah. And thus, because of all that funding going to try to get the guys out of the houses, they can't pay their property.
Well, I've said for years, I believe the day's going to come where they force citizens out of their homes so that illegal immigrants and homeless people can live in them. And if we object for our home being used that way, we don't have compassion.
We're
racist and we don't have compassion.
They're going to just bring back the Third Amendment where they say we have to house armies. No, now we have to house illegal immigrants inside our homes now at this point. So according to the amendments on there, that's what they said. The other thing too was that Union Tribune did another story and they found that over 1,000 different unpaid parking tickets just this year alone have not been followed through by the city. Thus, the amount for that is $16 million.
Let me ask you this. What is the Tribune doing about fraud other than supporting the Stop Nick Shirley Act?
Exactly. Okay, so here's the
thing. Why don't you put all that great investigative journalism to some good use.
Exactly.
I don't really want to come and suck the blood out of somebody who's late in his property taxes. And you know how that could be defined by the Democrats. Well, we don't feel they're paying their fair share.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, if we're in that much of a deficit and that amount of money is there, I know it might be pocket change in particular compared to our budget deficit because I think it's over $300 million or something like that. But that's still a large
amount. Well, folks, if they come after you for not paying your parking fee, just say you relate and identify with somebody who did pay his parking fee.
Or at least say, yeah, but I actually am this person who actually died 5 years
ago.
Or
just tell them you're not in the country legally. They'll leave you alone.
They'll definitely do that for sure. All right, so that was just my little quick segment. And again, huge shout out to Jim Barrier. We're so excited to have him back here shortly. Coming up in our next two segments are my main topics, especially the one, the only, Donald Trump is back in our news. I know, surprise.
Trump in the news?
Never. So we'll talk about Trump and his latest dealings with Iran this week when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church.
No, you're not dreaming that you're in paradise. You're awake and you're actually listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Ah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. One of the greatest movies ever made.
I watched it again just a couple of weeks ago. Hey, I got to tell you, Dana and I went to see the Broadway version of The Sound of Music. Have you ever seen that on stage? I'm sure you've seen
it. No, I've seen the movie.
Very different from the movie, but it was fun seeing it on stage. Before the movie starts, they have ushers walking around. This is at San Diego Civic Theater. They're telling the audience not to sing along during the lyrics. And I'm turning to Dana. I'm saying, I've never seen a request like that before. But that must be because people are doing it. It's such a familiar show. And I thought, boy, that would just annoy the you-know-what out of me if people were singing. Well, yeah, they announced that. But there was a lady behind us that sang through the entire freaking show, and she wasn't even singing on tune. It would have bothered me even if she was singing on tune. We didn't pay to hear her,
right?
But anyway, it was fun. We watched The Sound of Music on stage.
Well, and would you suggest that show at the Civic Theater then in that case?
Yeah, it's there for a very brief time. In fact, I don't even know if it's still there. The movie is far better. They improved on the movie. How do you do the Austrian Alps?
Yeah, exactly. The hills are alive.
But it was also better written, better dialogue. But they did a good job. The acting, for the most part, was good. The singing was phenomenal.
Good, good. Speaking of which, there's a holiday coming. Well, I shouldn't say holiday, but it's a very important day coming up. I want to say it's this Saturday, if I remember correctly. It's the invasion on D-Day. Is that correct? Is that the Saturday, if I remember right?
I don't remember when the D-Day was.
Either way.
I remember the year. D-Day was in 1944, but it may very well have been in June. I honestly can't speak to that.
Either way, I do know there's a new D-Day movie out right now that I wanted to watch.
The last big one was Saving Private Ryan.
In this case, this one's called Pressure. Brendan Fraser stars as Dwight D. Eisenhower, and he's trying to determine whether it's a good day to invade that.
That was quite a decision for Eisenhower, because all bets were off. If that landing had not gone well, it would have been a different war, and Germany would have won. And when Eisenhower got the news that we landed with minimal casualties, it was the high turning point of his life. It was the defining moment of his life.
Absolutely. So I do want to go watch that.
Yeah,
that sounds really
interesting.
Yeah. It's called Pressure. So it's out in theaters right now. Okay. Yeah, it just came out this past Friday.
Not to be confused with the old Billy Joel song, Pressure.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's probably not in the soundtrack.
And not to be confused with David Bowie and Queen, who were just under that pressure. Anyways, so big news coming out of Trump. There's two news stories. Hey, guess what?
Don't tell me. Another deal with Iran.
Yeah, that and...
As I said, last week's deal fell through. Now we're hearing about another one.
Exactly.
But Trump's not sure yet if he's happy with it.
We'll get into more details on that one.
Okay.
But very quickly, did you hear that a federal judge just went against Trump again? I know. It's shocking.
Yeah.
He's no longer now allowed to call it the Trump Kennedy Center.
He can't call it the Kennedy. He's saying that only Congress can name that thing. I don't know how those laws originally developed. If it was something that was supposed to be named by Congress, that's fine. But he's not telling him he can't redevelop it. Trump was put as the head of the board of directors.
Right.
I don't think Trump needs to name everything after himself. I'm glad we renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, not the Gulf of Trump.
We did. Oh, yeah. We got like
probably
on that
somebody
one.
Had to talk. I don't think he has to name everything after himself, but I think he's accomplished a lot of things that if he just leave it alone in history, they'll just name a lot of stuff after him anyway.
It's very true.
That would look better.
Yeah, exactly. And besides that, again, I don't think he's sweating bullets over the fact that, wait, it's not going to be called Trump Kennedy Center.
He already said in a tweet, let's just give it back to the Congress.
Yeah.
It's not the hill to die for.
And besides, there's more important things, such as...
He should just say, yeah, I'm naming it after Bobby Kennedy Jr.
There you go.
That's the Kennedy Center.
Exactly. Okay, so yeah, as we all know, Iran deal did fall off this last week. However, a new one has come out. This time, according to reports, Iran said that this is actually a much harsher framework, as they quote say, on this particular deal. Iran's chief negotiator warned on Sunday the United States was not to be trusted, saying that Tehran would not agree to any deal with Washington unless it's fully secured Iranian rights. Trump has said that his priorities...
Iranian rights meaning to charge a fee for the Strait of Hormuz to continue enriching uranium, those kinds of rights.
Of course.
Continue shooting the citizens of protests.
Yes. Trump obviously has said his priorities are against all that stuff, specifically, again, any nuclear weapons in Iran or for developing Hormuz shipping lane as well, which I think if I heard correctly today, we shot down another ship that was trying to go through without our permission. So.
Yeah, you know, I do have a suggested deal of my own.
Go ahead.
Trump sits down the Iranian ambassador and he says, now you just sit down and shut up and we'll tell you what you're going to do.
At this point.
That would be a good deal.
It would. But again, would they follow through on this?
Of course not.
No.
They could jump up and down for joy, say it's the best deal in the world. They're not going to follow through.
Did you hear Laura Trump's interview on Fox News?
Only portions of it. I liked what I saw, but I saw only portions of it.
This is my biggest quote I have heard for her, for sure. And I'm going to, and the way.
Have you noticed that she seems to like Trump when she interviews him?
Right? Exactly.
You never know, she was part of his family.
Yeah. But what I was going to mention is the way that she spoke this line specifically. So I'm going to butcher it a bit, but the way she spoke it is what mattered to me the most. She said, quote, the one guarantee that I have to have is that there will be no nuclear weapons. They agreed to that, and that was very interesting to me. Now, the way she said it was like she.
You mean she's saying Trump said that to her?
Correct. Yeah. But the way she said it was. Okay, that's obviously something that they immediately agree to that part all of a sudden. They're up to something with that.
Well, they have in the past said, we're fine on no nuclear weapons, but we still want nuclear enrichment, and that's our own business, which means...
They said it was for civilian...
Yeah, we already offered to give them all the nuclear energy they wanted. If they need to make it themselves, they're making a bomb.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to the next part here, they said that, quote, I think it's Ghalibaf is how you pronounce his name, but he's one of the chief negotiators for Iran. He said that we will not approve any agreement until we are certain that the rights of Iranian people have been upheld. According to Tasnim news agencies, exchanges on text are ongoing with both parties regularly proposing amendments each side. But again, Trump apparently was...
Well, Brendan, all I can say is Iran stalling and dragging the deal along again this week just shocks the socks off.
Right?
Never saw that one coming.
Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said that it's unclear where the conclusion is going to be reached. Everything that is being said right now is all speculation when he was talking on state television. Iran has said that it needs the release of $12 billion in frozen assets before engaging in sensitive talks on its nuclear program, dismissing earlier Trump comments that its enriched uranium stockpile would be destroyed as baseless, according to Iranian media. One of the Washington's stated war aims was the destruction of Iranian's ballistic missile program, with General Dan Kane, the top U.S. military officer, estimating in April that more than 80% of its missile facilities had been struck. However, CNN then reported just this morning that only 69% have actually been destroyed. They said that there is still speculation that another 31 is still out there, possibly. Though daily strikes throughout Iran and the Gulf halted with the agreed temporary cease order in April, there have been sporadic attacks. Obviously, we've been talking about that. After Trump said Iran would charge no tolls on ships passing through the strait under any deal, Iranian news agency Fars cited sources saying no such clause has existed. Otherwise, again, there's some talks between Lebanon as well for a peace one, but their fighting still continues. Beirut accuses Israel of pursuing a scorched earth policy as it expands operations against Iran.
Yeah, because Lebanon won't do anything about Hezbollah, who's backed by Iran and is out to destroy Israel.
Right.
And they've been dropping bombs on Israel all week during all this back and forth talk about the peace.
Yeah. And then they sign it. And within, like, I would say a day or so, they already broke it immediately too. Iran did first.
Even if Lebanon wanted to work with Israel, they cannot get Hezbollah under control.
Right.
That's really Iran's call. And Iran loves what Hezbollah is doing.
So I guess the question now becomes, so what's our next step in this whole policy? Well, I have some good news for you.
Wait, this one will fall through and next week we'll hear about another one. That's the next step.
Maybe. Here's the other one. The United Nations is stepping in.
Oh! See, I mentioned to Mike last week that my fear was that Iran was going to agree to no nukes, but say that another country had to come in and inspect.
Yes.
Like Lebanon has to come in and inspect, or Saudi Arabia, or China. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, in this case, the UN says they are going to be holding an emergency meeting Monday in order to strengthen peace talks between the two. How much is that going
to
help?
The UN, they used to have Syria and Iran on their peacekeeping council, but they've condemned Israel more than any other nation.
It's so, so sad to say that. Every time I read any story coming from the UN, I laugh hysterically because they don't have any such power
to
help out.
I've said for years they should be closed down and we should turn their building into a big toilet.
That's as good as it's going
to
get.
Well, it would fit everything else that Mamdani is doing to New York City, I'll tell you that.
All right. A couple of the Middle East countries and areas are looking to sit down later on this week. I couldn't agree with you more, though, Bob. I think, like you said, it might be another bi-week situation where nothing's going to come about with this whole situation.
You know, Trump keeps saying if we don't like the deal, we'll go back to the military. I think it's time to just do that. But anyway.
My last thing I did want to say is that Trump did make the comment of saying that, quote, he's not in a hurry in order to fix the situation. I mean,
he doesn't want anybody to think he's sweating about the midterm. I appreciate the fact that Trump wants to do the right thing, whether we lose elections or not. That is admirable. Just the same, practically speaking, bottom line, if we lose those midterms, we won't be able to defend against Iran anymore anyway, because the feckless Democrats will stop us from doing it.
Exactly.
So unfortunately, winning the midterms is important if we want to succeed against Iran.
Exactly. And besides, him going back to the Middle East this week, is that going to mean anything that much? Honestly, no. But like you said, his main focus should be the midterms right now and making sure that everything goes according to plan for that situation, right, more than this Iran situation. Right. Don't fall underneath the boat of mainstream media saying, oh, see, he said he was going to fix it. He said he was going to make a deal. Don't fall for it. And I know Trump's 900 steps ahead of them in terms of this whole situation, too.
Absolutely.
So when we come back, guess who else is in the news besides Trump? Newsom.
Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, of course.
Gruesome Newsom.
Yeah.
We'll Nebuchadnezzar. We got all kinds of names for
exactly. We'll talk about him, unfortunately, when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and one more segment with my producer, Brendan Thomas.
You know, it'd help if I turn on my microphone there. Oh, well. Anyways, well, like we said prior to going to commercial break, we got another Newsom update, ladies and gentlemen.
His Royal Majesty, I'm here to say that Donald Trump is an existential threat. I know that sounds a little like Clinton.
That's more Clinton.
But they both have that gravelly voice.
Hear ye, hear ye. Newsom has just signed a new bill, and yet this bill makes absolutely no sense. What a surprise.
What kind of taxes will be in this bill?
No taxes, luckily.
No taxes?
I know. Okay. Senate Bill 73 has just been signed. This is, end quote, to strengthen California's existing election safeguards in response to the growing threats of election interference and intimidation, specifically
from... Who cheats on elections more than Newsom and the Democrats?
Thank you.
And so, in other words, what it really means is they're going to keep us from having fair...
That's what it is.
Is basically having voter ID part of their safeguards? Of course. No, it's not. No. I don't even have to read the bill to tell you
exactly
that.
But he says specifically, President Donald Trump continues to undermine the confidence in elections and disrupt lawful election administration. This bill's there to strengthen.
You know what he's control. We know that what he's saying. He's saying that if Hilton wins, they're going to find a way to overturn it.
Exactly.
They're laying the by the way, he just about practically admitted that a couple of weeks ago. People said, well, Hilton's ahead in the polls. He said, don't worry, we have a plan to break the glass if we have to. Now, he didn't explain what that meant, but it didn't sound very good. And I think it was practically admitting that they're cheating.
I mean,
that they're going to cheat.
I mean, where did Javier Becerra come from? Like, he was in fifth place at the beginning of this whole thing, and now he's skyrocketed to first place in the polls. I mean, come
on. Yeah, much as I want to believe that Hilton's going to win, I just don't trust this well-oiled Democratic machine that we have here in California.
So for that reason, my question before I continue on with this stupid Senate bill, do you think it's best if Bianco tries to drop out that way we could focus more on Hilton?
It
possibly
would have helped, but at this point, those that love Bianco are going to probably still vote for him. Now, if Bianco's going to lose, if those who wanted Bianco after he loses, and assuming that Hilton gets into the top two,
right,
if they're willing to go over toward Hilton, then that can help Hilton win the general come November. But at this point, I don't know if there's even time for that anymore.
And
by the way, Bianco's not going to, he's not going to drop out.
No, he's not.
But he can't win. Folks, when you go to the polls, if maybe you love Bianco, I like both of these guys, but Hilton's ahead. If you vote for Bianco, you're voting for one of the Democrats because you're splitting the Republican vote. He can't win. Maybe you wish he could. Maybe it sounds good to vote your heart. He can't win. He won't win. Do you want a different Republican or do you want one of these Democrats?
It's true.
So you've got to think. You've got to be practical. You've got to be wise.
On a Democratic side, too, that goes along the same with having Katie Porter hopefully drop out, but that's not going to happen. Same thing with Steyer. Steyer should probably drop out, too, but again,
they're not going to drop out.
No, not at this point, too. Yeah. So going back to the Senate bill, specifically, I want to talk about the authors of the bill here. Senator Sabrina Cervantes said, Senate Bill 73 is a direct response to the efforts by officials in the Trump administration and local elected leaders to undermine our democracy piece by piece, she said.
What do they claim they're actually going to do? What's going to make it a fair election? What are they claiming the actual steps will be?
Did you want me to read what this bill will officially
do? Well, can you paraphrase that? I don't want to...
Okay, here's what I got. It says prohibits any person from providing unauthorized access, distribution, modifications, or seizure of voter rolls, voter lists, or certified voting technology.
That's what Democrats do with every single election.
Yep.
In other words, if somebody's a conservative or Republican, you're going to stop them from doing
that. They're calling the kettle black in this case, yes. Next thing, restricting peace officers from interfering with election administration or disrupting election workers.
Oh, in other words, if they stay open all night and bring in boxes at the end, they can't send anybody in to monitor them.
Exactly.
When we cheat, when we do our 11th hour cheating, nobody can come in and watch. Boy, this stuff is as transparent as glass.
I know. And then there's one more here, requiring the California Department of Justice to issue guidance to county election officials on how to respond and count requests and votes within the election. So again, they're having now their Department of Justice tell how you should count the votes. You shouldn't count these votes, but you should count these ones.
Well, tell you what, Republicans, if you just lean on over and kiss our butts, then you see, everything will be fair.
Now, the legislation does say that this is an official crime. They said it's going to be a $1,000 fine, prison sentence of 3 years, or both, if not followed, they said within
the sculpture. So nobody's going to be allowed to spot elections.
Exactly, yeah. So again, this is just so malarkey and so overstepping your
power.
Well,
that's probably the breaking of the glass that Newsom was talking about.
Maybe so, maybe so. Because I really thought it was going to be more candidacy, but this Senate bill is ridiculous.
I love Steve Hilton. I just don't think it's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I would be delighted to be wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe he'll squeak through in the primary. There's no way they're going to let that guy win the general. It's not going to happen.
And again, I'm with you 100% on it, Bob. I really do hope he wins, but this is a tight
race. I will be very pleasantly surprised.
Absolutely. Next up, Newsom is going to impose a 100% tax on California payees of Trump's $1.8 billion fund. Now, for those who don't know what this fund is specifically, it's the, quote, anti-weaponization fund. That was the, what Newsom is saying is that while we don't know what specifically this fund is going to, it says, just quote, that it's going to victims of lawfare and weaponization. He says, quote, this is specifically for those who are in part of the January 6th situation.
There was all kinds of weaponization that went on against Trump aside from January 6th. But right. By the way, that was weaponization true. Mm-hmm. Because these people, they were trespassing. They didn't deserve to be sentenced to jail for 10 years.
Exactly, right. And besides that, too, this is a fund that's been a product of a settlement reachment between Trump and the IRS. So therefore, Trump's not claiming the money for himself. He says he's going to give it to those people who were in need of it specifically. So therefore, that's his money. He can do what he wants with it. Why is the government stepping in to say, oh, that's not what you can do with that money because you want it and it's your specific money? It's his personal money now at this point. He can do whatever he wants with it now. So anyways, to continue on here, Newsom said, and quote, people who assault cops and overthrow democracy don't deserve a taxpayer-funded payday, he wrote on Wednesday.
The Democrats assault ICE agents and cops every single day.
Thank you. You were going to get to my point right there. I was about to say that. I mean, again, this is so hypocritical.
Basically, this is the Nazi party that calls everybody a Nazi except the real Nazis.
Absolutely. Five people have been appointed by the U.S. Attorney General to preside over the $1.776 billion, which will be funded from a fund typically used to pay court judgments. Todd Blanchy, the acting U.S. Attorney General, characterized the fund as an avenue to make right the wrongs that were previously done. Quarterly reports on who has received monetary relief and what amount will be sent to the Attorney General in December 1st of 2028. So this stuff is not even going to come until two more years down the road, and yet Newsom's already trying to do something before he leaves office about this whole situation too. And lastly, the DOJ did not respond to a request for a comment on what Newsom's proposed tax will look like down the road, which I'm not surprised because, again, they're just playing along to a system basically at this point. So very, very disappointing to see, but again, not surprising to see. These two have been going in each other's throats basically forever. And this goes to my point again, Bob. I'm telling you, Newsom's looking to run for presidency. I know everyone keeps saying it's some secret other person.
Of course he's going to run for presidency. I wish he'd just take a long walk off a short pier.
But the worst part, again, is that if he does run, I really do think he's got the, and I'm going to air quotes, support around him to win this election if he does run.
If they're supporting that Nazi in Maine, they'll support anybody. And the Democrats are getting behind him. The amount of people speaking against him, it's very few.
Exactly. Well, Bob, I hate to end it on such a dour note, but unfortunately we did run out of time. So hopefully we'll have some more positive notes next week. Well,
Newsom's passing new rules. Trump's still making deals with Iran. What could be better than that?
Well, anyways, Bob, thank you again so much.
Brandon, it's always a pleasure.
Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.